Warning, you've entered the territory of explicit content created by the D-Max Dads. Viewers and listeners' discretion is highly advised. You're listening to the D-Max Dads podcast. Get ready for mud, trucks, and redneck shit. Dayton Kleck is the owner of Blue 2006 GMC LBZ Duramax. Chase Perry is the owner of a maroon 2003 GMC LB7 Duramax. And Ty Perry is the owner of a black 2003 Chevy LB7 Duramax. Please note that although Chevy and GMC are our favorite brands, we do not discriminate other preferences. All is welcome to the B-Max Dad community.
Welcome back, Dagan.
Yeah, welcome back.
It's been a year and about 4 months now.
Yeah.
We've been wanting to get D-Max Dad started again. We started getting views and then life got in the way. Ran a little out of topics to talk about for a minute, and you know,
his
kid, my kid,
yeah.
Ember's a year old now. Last time we spoke, Ember wasn't even here yet. We invited Ty to join the podcast with us. We wanted some mechanic specialty, to
reviews,
you know, some input here. Over the summer we added a lift to your truck.
We did. That was a pain in the ass.
How'd that go?
Not bad.
How'd that go, Ty?
Took a lot of time.
Sucked.
I think there's a lot of things we could have done differently. Like, I don't know. Probably would have helped if I wouldn't have lost so many parts and didn't need it done as quick as I did, but
put bolts in the right places and
yeah, better instruction manuals, for sure. Yeah. Whoever sent us that, there wasn't even color on the papers. Come on now. You think I'm smart enough to not know, you know, to know what I'm doing without pictures with color?
All around a great lift, though. Yep. It looks good on Dagan's truck. We'll have to post pictures with the episode when it comes out. Nothing, you know, against the lift. You know, I'm sure the instruction manual was probably not
the least of their concerns.
Yeah, it was probably not their priority to, you know, make sure it was in working condition. And you know, it is a great lift, and we'll post the link in the summary of the podcast, so you can check that out.
Pretty much just in the description.
Maybe have the right tools.
Yeah.
You know,
like, it's a lot easier to do a job with the right tools. Yeah.
Drop the front diff with the, you know, trans jack or something.
Not with the regular jack. Yeah. You didn't like that? That was fun.
Some 2x4s.
Scary. All right.
How long did it take us?
Well, I was working on it on and off for like 2 days after work. I'd get home and work on it, and then it took us. Majority.
When we started, the rear end was already done because Dagan had that done already.
Yep.
The front end is a little bit more
about what,
detail. Pay attention to the details.
Yeah, there's a lot more into it than just the blocks.
We had majority of it done in 1 day. We started at like, 4 o'clock and ended at like 2 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
If you're going to do it for yourself, maybe think about like parts that you could get to replace while you're doing it, because you literally take apart the front end.
Yeah, mm-hmm. We found
ball joints control
and
arms.
Tie rods and whatnot were bad, so I had to order parts for that, so we didn't completely get it done.
If you're like us, then you know we'll have to save money or save parts until you can buy the other. So like, for example, Dagan's always talking about kryptonite, control arms, ball joints, whatever. And, you know, they're a little spendy.
But
so if you buy a lift, it'd be smart to have those together so you're not taking it apart twice.
Yeah, just have it there and already bought and paid for, and it's a lot better to just go with quality parts.
Store it in your garage for a minute, store it in a storage unit, whatever you need to. It just personal recommendation.
It sure does help a lot.
Dagan's been sending us some parts that he's. Dagan's pretty good at wanting to customize his truck. You know, I find other priorities and projects getting in the way of mine. Derby season's a big one. Not just doing my own cars, but like helping Ty with his. Or camping in the summer. That one's a good one. And not having a shop.
Yeah. That is
don't really want to work on anything because it's freaking cold outside. And if you didn't listen to the intro, this podcast is now going to be, you know, explicit. We're going to try and limit the swearing to, you know, a minimum. But
It's just hard.
You know, we are adults and we use adult words. So,
especially during mechanic work, let me tell you what.
there's a lot of fuck words going around.
Yeah.
So.
But it's really frustrating because, you know, you're doing something and it's not working out, or something's too tight and you just can't get into it, or you bust your hand when you get it loose, or I guarantee Ty knows about that, working on big trucks, when something goes, it goes,
yeah.
And you bust your knuckles or this and that.
When something's supposed to be an easy job and you're there for 4 hours drilling something out.
Yep.
Welding a socket to a stripped out bolt while changing brakes that was only supposed to take 15 minutes.
Yeah. That's one good thing about the Chevys, the torques on the caliper pins.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So our listeners are going to want to know who Ty is. Ty is my brother, Ty Perry, and I'll let him, you know, tell us a little bit about himself, where he went to college for mechanicking, and how many years of experience he's got, what he first started working on, and what he's working on now. So what do you think, Ty?
So started right out of high school, drove like an hour away to go to school. Some nights were pretty hard. I went and stayed the night in the parking lot because of the snow. Went to school at Davis Tech, graduated with my NTHS reward. And
what's the NTHS?
Yeah.
National Technical Honor Society. It's like,
what does that mean? Yeah,
like the honor roll type of deal.
Yeah, it's the honor roll. Really, it's, you don't have to do much to get it. Just, you know, do
it's like
work.
Going a little above and beyond than everybody else.
Doing your work and not just doing it, you know. Doing it right.
How many people get those at the school?
In my class, there was only 5 out of like 40 kids that got it.
So it's still a decent.
So that puts you in the top percentile of your class, then.
Yeah, and you know, you can show it off at graduation. They give you a tassel. They give you all kinds of discounts to eat out. They give you discounts to buy supplies if you want to further your education.
So it pays off to know, like what you're doing.
Well, I think even that, just being, you know, part of the honor roll is like, just kind of shows, it's like, hey, you know, I do my job right and I make sure I'm thorough with it, and I'm not just going to half-ass something and say, oh, it's good enough. No, it's quality work you're putting in.
A lot of people just do it just to do it. If you really find something you're interested in, you want to know what you're doing. You don't want someone asking you, like, hey, how do you do this? And you tell them you have no clue.
Yeah, I don't know. I just kind of do whatever I do.
Anyways, pursue with where you're going.
So, well, I started out working graveyard, so I'd go to school in the morning, and
this was right after college, after you got out?
No, right after high school. Sorry, excuse me.
So your company was helping you go through school?
Yeah, my company was helping me go through school. I started out at Transfleet Services in Ogden, Utah. And they're a pretty good company to start out with. They taught me a lot, honestly. They taught me how to change tires, brakes, all this basic PM stuff. PMs are preventative maintenance, and just making sure the trucks are roadworthy.
Because that's a big deal, right? If they're not roadworthy for even like the small stuff,
DOT is pretty strict.
Yeah. Right.
DOT.
So your inspections are really,
you have to have thorough inspections.
Yeah, and you got to put your name on everything. So right. If you have something that you didn't check, and you know, and the trailer comes off the fifth wheel,
is that on you or is that on the driver?
That's on. It would be on the driver.
The nearest mechanic.
They probably have to do an investigation.
Yeah,
right?
But the driver is supposed to do a pre-trip before he takes the truck out on the road. But really, it's the investigation, like Chase was saying, you know, you gotta make sure.
If they find out that he did, in fact, service his truck with you 200 miles ago or 100 miles ago, whatever,
yeah,
and the tires ended up having tread showing,
well,
they'd probably be looking at you, correct?
Yeah. So, at my new job, 3 trucks caught on fire. It's a PACCAR. I'll go back to my old job after I'm done telling you. They 3 trucks caught on fire. Luckily, I wasn't there. I was out on a vacation, and they went back to the mechanics and you know, seeing what was going on. Because obviously they're going to wonder why the truck's caught on fire.
Right.
And
that's a lot of money burning down to the ground.
They had to do an investigation. They had to bring out, like, some safety company to come clean up the oil and clean out the drains, because all the oil and fuel drained out into the drains.
Oh, they burned inside the shop?
No, they burned right outside. So we have a
detail. All into the storm drains?
Oh, okay. Yeah.
They burned right next to the building, though, so luckily, you know, nothing caught on fire other than the trucks.
Oh, yeah.
What we think is the... So we're a leasing company, so when people want to get rid of their trucks, we get their trucks and resell them. And they're thinking the company that had it before us had the electrical problems, and the center truck caught on fire and caught the two trucks on right next to it on fire. But they had to come in and investigate, and they had to ask us questions and stuff and see if we even touched them and who worked on it last or if it's even been worked on. And it was a big deal. But back to Transplate, yeah, they taught me how to do tires, brakes, like I was saying, but they helped me pay for my schooling, and they set me on the way where I'm at now. And right now, currently, I'm working at PACCAR, like I was saying as well. And they're sending me off for my CDL. Really, if you just work with your company, they'll help you advance if that's what you're wanting to. Like PACCAR is wanting to send me to Texas to get more knowledge on the PACCAR MX engines, like the MX-11, MX-13. And honestly, I'm really wanting to go there and become a master tech. I am tire certified. That I went through commercial tire, and it was a 2-week process. It was like a lot of tests, a lot of knowledge, knowing what tire will fit on what rim, what rims. Like, you got your split rims and just a normal rim, tractor tires, all kinds of tires that you have to know, or else it could be a hazard to people out on the road.
So you're solely experienced in diesel trucks, but they kind of coincide with heavy equipment and
tractors and stuff. A lot of people think that if you're a diesel mechanic, you know, like, everything about everything. Cars and trucks are completely different. Like, you got your medium duty, you got your automotive, you got injected, carbureted.
The semis, are they not, was their class, is it just heavy duty?
Yeah, you got heavy duty, some medium duty.
And medium duty would be like just like your truck, the Duramax.
Like Duramaxes or medium duty.
You mentioned your Duramax as well, so maybe you want to tell us a little bit about your Duramax.
Yeah, I just bought a 2003 black cat eye Duramax. It has the LV7 in it. Just barely had an electrical problem that I fixed today, honestly. The radio was draining power, so I had a parasitic draw on the truck, and I unhooked the batteries and hooked up my multimeter to it and seen what was drawing power and pulled fuses one at a time, and it was the radio.
Parasitic draw. Parasites are usually like a negative thing for animals. So is that safe to assume that parasitic draw means it's unhealthy for whatever it's drawing from?
Yeah, it could start fires. It drains your batteries. Cause more electrical problems if you keep it going, you know.
Okay. You had just installed new headlights on them, on it, and I thought they were pretty cool looking.
Oh, yeah.
You installed them in the snow, trying to get them in as soon as your girlfriend gave them to you.
Yeah, I got them. The day that I got them, I went outside. It was midnight, and I put them in first thing.
Couldn't wait.
Trucks are like exciting thing, you know. And you, like I said, if you find something you love, you're willing to do it. That's why I say college isn't for everyone. But you know, I didn't even go to a university. I went to a trade. Trades are really good in today's world.
Yeah, I mean, you can make quite a bit of money in trades. You can make quite a bit of money in universities, but you could also not make very much money after graduating from a university. I mean, a lot of teachers are a good example of that. I feel like our teachers in our states are pretty beneficial of their salaries, you know. But, you know, it is a dangerous career now due to school shootings, of course. But we're not going to get into that. what other things are you into today?
I want to ask, the emphasize on, like, the college, you know, not for everybody. Do you think if you didn't go to college, you think you would still proceed in, you know, some sort of mechanics? Or do you think it would go a different way? Or do you think you'd still be able to be a diesel mechanic? Or do you think just...
Oh, that's a good question.
You know, do you think you still could make it without the college? Or do you think it'd be a lot harder?
Honestly, I think it would be a lot harder because a lot of shops are, you know, looking to hire someone with knowledge and or something. But, like, starting out, you don't really need to go and get a trade certificate, you know, because shops are desperate. Stuff come on trucks day and night. People need them for food, clothes, hats, anything. I mean, you got trains, but they mostly carry, like, cargo, like, shipping.
Like, yeah, oils and, I know about that.
But trains can't go to, like, your Walmart that you head to every day for your groceries.
Right.
It costs $100 for two bags. So, I really recommend going and getting some basic knowledge from a trade. I wouldn't say I would be still in the diesel industry if I didn't, because I would probably be doing just oil changes and brakes and stuff.
Like a lot
still.
Lighter car.
And I've been doing this for 3 years.
You'd be a Jiffy Lube mechanic?
Yeah, and a lot of people talk badly on lube techs.
I mean,
but,
job's a job. I mean,
yeah.
You gotta learn to appreciate, you know, what you have in your life. You know, I sometimes find myself talking shit on my job, but, you know, like, it feeds my family, it pays my bills. I mean, it's gonna be the same thing with those mechanics that, you know, don't go to school.
But I'm sure.
But you're gonna find yourself hating your job more because
yeah.
You're going to the places that are desperate for mechanics. And they're desperate for a reason. Either they can't get any because their benefits are bad.
They can't keep any.
Their, you know, supervisors are assholes.
I know.
You know, whatever.
I've never really done, like, piecework, but a lot of people are frustrated with the warranty work that comes back and it's not their vehicle that they worked on, and that's another big thing. People are sick and tired of that because, you know, the more money you make, the better. And if you're working on a warranty piece, it's not making you money.
Okay. Do you have any other questions, Dagan? Or?
I was thinking probably the whole having, like, a degree in it, too, probably helps out, like, when layovers come by. You probably, they look at you and go, oh, well, he's an actual certified mechanic, so it'd be dumb to get rid of him. Let's get rid of the guy that's not certified mechanic. You know, he doesn't have papers to show that he, you know, especially with the honor thing, you know, they looked at that and like, yeah, he does good work. And we've even seen it from the experience.
He's
he
got references,
yeah.
And
motivation.
You're passionate about your job.
Especially, and it's not even a job. I feel like at this point, it's kind of a career, you know, you just keep moving up and start doing more and
yeah,
you're starting
always,
to learn more.
Always look for more, you know, more knowledge is better. And, you know, like going through school, like they said, you got references, you got your instructors that, you know, you could ask them to be a reference and they'll get you a job most likely 9 times out of 10. They know people come to schools all the time at, talking about their company and trying to recruit mechanics, and your instructors are pretty tight with them or close.
Yeah. I have somebody to say that, you know, in a point where you're laid off or furloughed, you'd have somebody that would pick up the phone and say that you are fucking stupid to let Ty go, or, yeah, you know, whoever you may be. Speaking of all our listeners, if you're, you know, interested in the mechanic trade or even a trade or, you know, careers at all, you want to be the most knowledgeable person. And if you are the most knowledgeable person
and hardworking,
maybe think about what you could do to be more knowledgeable. What would make you more irreplaceable?
Learn something every day.
Because there's going to be something about you that could be replaced, whether it's your attitude or, you know, whatever. It may not be your, you know, your knowledge in your career, but there's always something in every career that you can learn or do differently.
And another big thing before getting into it is start looking at tools. You know, tools are your... Without tools, you can't do your job. If I was a starting mechanic, if I were to redo it, I would stay off the trucks until you know for sure that you're going to be in the industry for at least, you know, 2 years, 3 years, 5 years.
That you're committed before you just, like, whatever.
Because them tool trucks will get you. They'll try and make you a good deal.
Well, tools
you find yourself $10,000 in tools, yeah, and now I'm stuck in this career because, you know, I bought all these tools.
What am I going to do with them outside of this?
Yeah, there's some cons to it. Like, most companies will want to try and get you in a contract, and you just need to talk to them and set your boundaries.
So, with contracts, how long does that usually last?
It really depends on what you're going for. Like, my CDL, if I went and got my CDL, they would put me in a contract for a year. Some places rate the cost as, like, 6 months down the road, you only have to pay for 6 months of the bill.
But if it's not prorated, then even if you work there for 11 months and 29 days,
you have to pay it back in full.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
So you definitely need to know what the vocabulary of the contracts you're getting into are.
Yeah, get full details.
I mean, there's going to be a lot of young mechanics getting into it, you know. I'm sure Ty could probably say that, you know, he didn't know what he was getting himself into when he signed himself up for it. And he could have used some advice from, you know, another mechanic he knew or a dad or, you know, a friend, whatever. Seek advice from somebody else. And, you know, I'm sure there's going to be a lot of listeners one day that we are going to want Ty's opinion and experience or knowledge or, you know, anything that he knows about the vocabulary of mechanicking. And you can always email us right in and we can,
well, even,
you know, do our best to explain that.
Some stuff, it's kind of like you kind of just got to figure it out.
You're definitely going to want to, you know, get some advice from someone. I mean, yeah, it could be Ty through the podcast, but, you know, somebody that you can go to, you know, whether they live down the more road or within 15 minutes of you, somebody that can answer your phone call. Whether, you know, you internship at a mechanic shop, whatever, you're going to want advice from somebody at some point.
Yeah. And when you're interviewing, just ask them to see if you could see the shop. A lot of the looking at the shop tells you a lot if the floors are dirty, if they're organized, because, you know, it just helps you get your job done faster if you can find, like, the right part that you're looking for or, you know. Just like shop equipment, you always want to be safe. You don't want to do something that you're not comfortable with. Always talk to your manager.
Would you say that you've talked to me about wholesale before? Would you say that, like, a more organized shop is the most important thing for wholesale?
Well, yeah, wholesale. So I'll give a little rundown on wholesale and retail. So, like, at the shop that I'm working at, it's a sales place, so we got a sales team also. And a lot of people don't like to spend that extra money on getting their stuff available for warranty or, you know, that warranty paper. So they'll want to go wholesale. Wholesale is like buying the truck as it sits, as long as it runs and starts and no lights are on, it's ready to go, but retail, which is mostly what I do, you gotta check the truck from bumper to bumper and make sure everything's good, everything's safe, check the fifth wheel, and that's a big liability. You gotta make sure that no one gets hurt out there on the road.
Right. But I guess my question was more, in wholesale, their job is to, you know, if you can basically ride out for 8 hours of work, even if it only took you 4 hours, right? So if you do it in 4 hours because you were able to find your parts, that would be due to an organized shop.
Yeah.
But if it took you 12 hours, the shop is not organized enough because you should have been able to do it in less than 8.
A lot of shops that do piecework like that, they give you like a incentive. Like if you do it faster than book time, they'll give you more money to get it done faster. So yeah, that's why you want to look for organization in the shop.
That's kind of hard though, I feel like, with the whole, like, the faster you get it done, you know, the more, you know, we'll give you this or we'll give you that. Just because I feel like that's like, it's not, they're not telling you, hey, you know, get it done fast, you know, don't go really into detail. It's more like, hey, you know, get this done fast. But a lot of people in a lot of industries, when they hear that, they're like, all right, well, then clearly they don't want it fully done correctly. Do you think that's kind of like what they lean for? Because I know in mine, it's, I feel like that, but.
Yeah, so I'd say if you're doing piecework like that, I don't think it's the best work if you are a buyer. Like if you're going for a truck and you go and buy it from a shop, like kind of like how my shop is, I would want to buy a retail truck because I know it's been looked over, or, you know, just, I guess it's kind of hard to tell if you're just some random guy buying a car from a shop, because I feel like people just want to get their money in as a mechanic when they're looking for, when they are getting paid piece rate, because they don't do as good of a job, in my opinion. That's why I stay away from shops like that, because I don't want to get lazy.
For sure. And you can, it's like one of those, you know, quality over quantity. You can balance them out, but sometimes a lot of, you know, bigger companies, they always look for quality or quantity over quality because they get more money faster. It helps. You know, they just want to keep the money rolling in.
I mean, if I was a mechanic and then I was going for piecework, I would say, first things first, don't do piecework. You want to be able to do your job right before you could do it efficiently.
And I'm sure you've met some, you know, pieceworkers, wholesale, that actually do good quality jobs.
Yeah.
And I'm sure they're, you know, few and far between because of what you said. They're trying to make money. But this, we mean no offense to those people that, you know, think they actually do good quality work. It's just from Ty's experience that, you know, because they're required to go bumper to bumper, retailers, you know, tend to have a more quality look on the trucks.
And you're getting paid by hour, you're not getting paid by job. And that's why when you're first starting out, I recommend doing hourly, because if you don't know what you're doing, you're not going to make money.
That's a very good point. Do you want to go further on that, or do you want to move?
I'd kind of like to go into it a little more. So, like, from your personal experience, from what you've done so far and how they've treated you and everything you've had so far, if you had your own shop, how would you run it?
If I were to own my own shop, I would for sure do hourly. I would pay my guys hourly. I would crack down on organizing parts, charging parts out, making sure 99% of the time that they clean their shop after each vehicle's out, because you don't want to slip on oil and be out for months or years or whatever. No one wants to be hurt from working.
Right.
So safety and organization.
Yeah, so.
Now, on the down days, you're going to want to send your employees to trainings, I'm sure.
Yeah.
What would be a good training to send every mechanic to? Like, you would require every mechanic to do if you were running the shop?
Well, it depends on what I'm working on. If I was working on Freightliners, I would want them to know everything about the Freightliner engine. Or, you know, most trucks run Eaton transmissions, so I'd want them to do some knowledge on that, and I would want them to get HVAC certified, like 609 certified, which is really good to know, because
that's your refrigerant, isn't it?
Yeah, who doesn't want a truck that has heating and cooling in it? And it's safer to know what you're doing on that, especially because refrigerant is bad for the environment.
Safety is the best training in the shop of Ty Perry.
Well, I feel like safety should be the, you know, top priority one anywhere. In some places, correct. They say it is, but they don't put it as that. They're like, oh, safety is number one. And then they're like, well, why aren't you getting this done faster? Well, it's not safe. Okay.
Yeah, and if I were to have my own shop, I would get all the tools needed to complete the job. I wouldn't ask anyone to risk getting hurt to get it done.
So would you have, like, everybody has their own separate toolboxes, or, like, because I know some shops, like probably yours, and I think yours, you have your own toolbox that you pay for and everything. As your own owner, would you supply tools for everybody? Like, hey, you know, I've done this. I know you need all the tools in this box is what you'll need. If you need more, we can get it, but this should be good.
So if I was looking to hire someone, I would want them to have their basic tools already, but, like, I wouldn't ask them to get, like, a tire gun, because everyone in the shop could use that, but I would want them to, you know, invest in the work that they're doing, invest in their job, and invest in their tools. But I would probably try and get at least something out to them, like, around Christmas time, bonuses, maybe a tool reimbursement. If they break tools, they could go out and get what they need. Okay. Something's better than nothing.
Oh, yeah, especially from, you know, your boss or, you know, the company.
At least showing that the boss cares.
Yeah, and I feel like that's why people, you know, decide to change jobs or stay at their job now, because they don't feel appreciated if they, you know, they're like, they don't care, they don't help us, you know, I just spent this much money on this tool, I broke it, and, you know, I told somebody about it, they don't care. You know, I don't feel like they want me here, you know, you know, and then they start weighing everything. You know, they're like, I don't get paid enough. You know, insurance isn't good enough, blah, 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 this, that. But I feel like, you know, once you're shown the appreciation from even people you work with, you know, then you're like, oh, I really like it here. You know, they treat me well. I could see furthering my career with these guys, or, you know, choosing to leave. I feel like that's a big one.
Yeah, for sure.
So, what other hobbies or what are you into?
Grew up in the country, so obviously I'm into, like, hunting, fishing, building derby cars.
And every derby car that you run is gas engine.
Yeah.
So that gives you a little bit more perspective in the gasoline engine industry.
Yeah.
Pretty far off.
And you go diesel. Old too, so you got distributors and.
Carburetors and stuff. Yep. It's honestly surprising to me asking some old timers and they're not knowing how it works. It's like, it's before my time. So, actually just going, I had to learn all by myself, so actually just going out and doing it is sometimes the best thing to do.
Would you say a derby car is one of the best vehicles to learn on? You know, just some trash vehicle?
It's broke, whatever.
Yeah. So, I like doing derbies. You can find hobbies that, like, racing. But derby cars help me, you know, learn a lot, because I got to tear them apart and see how things work and not have to put it back together. I mean, I would know now how to put it back together just from experience and learning how things work, like taking apart the dash, taking the dash out, electrical, timing's big. You don't want a car that doesn't run good in the derby, or else you're gonna get creamed out there.
I think we noticed that, what, last derby or time before that?
This was last year. We briefly spoke about it before we took a long break between season one and season two break. Yeah. That's what we're going to call this now, season two. And, you know, this time we're going to record several podcasts before we start publishing again.
That way we can keep rolling them out and keep them moving.
So when life gets in the way, we don't have to stop, and then, you know, mm-hmm. we can look and say, hey, we only have two podcasts left before we run out of something to publish. We can sit down and think about what we want to talk about, and, you know, what events or what, and who we're going to interview next. And Ty's going to be a big part of that because, you know, he's in the derby industry, so, you know, he's going to meet some people that, you know, he's going to want to interview, and or come up with a different perspective than Dagan and I have. You know, I did have the experience of derbying with Ty in Colville. He gave me his hand-me-down car that, you know, didn't run great before, and his experience from his first year and his second year led him to fixing it to run great for me. And then you know, I tight with money with the baby at that point. You know, it that time of the year is real busy, wanting to go camping and fishing and hunting.
Oh, all the time of the year is busy because in the summer you want to go play. In the winter you got Christmas and you got holidays.
I feel like I finally recover in about February. So, you know, by February, Ty's working on his car already, and I'm thinking I probably should save my money for, you know.
Yeah, next holiday.
Yeah, and I'm working on getting married next summer, so I buy a car and I'm going to feel guilty because there goes our wedding savings. You mm-hmm. know? So.
So I want to go into the derby thing. So you went to Colville, Camas, and you did really good at Camas. Didn't you get second or third?
I got third at Camas, Colville. I would have ended up in the top, but my trunk got stuck in, jammed in my tires, so I couldn't move.
And the hood got your fuel lines, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. but it was still running. That's what's crazy. You think the cars just, you know, die.
Well, and that's those old motors, dude. They're like built, like they're not, they're stock, but they're like, they don't make them like they used to. That's what I'm trying to say.
Derby, and you add a little bit of redneck and a little bit of zip ties and duct tape, and that shit'll go for days.
They don't make them like they used to, like you're saying. I derbied a 67 Buick this past season, and I ended up taking second and third. Third at Camas and second in the Ogden Derby at the Golden Spike Arena, Halloween Havoc.
Which is really good because Halloween Havoc doesn't have any rules, right? They're just like, put you guys in
run
the arena
what you
and
brung,
go.
Yeah,
they didn't really have any rules. They just said, bring what you got to come finish them off. It's the end of the season, so.
Which I feel like that's a big achievement to get second in something like that because, like, you don't know what people are doing to their cars, especially if they did one derby and then they had all this time in between. You know, they could have put stuff their frames, they could have done motors, swaps, they could have done something, but you went from what one derby to another, like, you didn't really work on your car. You just did the main, you know, the things that had to be fixed.
Yeah, I just did what had to be done, you know, bending metal out away from the tires. So that's a big thing in the derby world. And tires, people aren't
getting stuck.
Tires getting stuck.
Well, and people run those forklift tires too, so they just have like a big advantage against you too.
Those are a lot of minis, aren't they? You don't
are
see
they
them on the Chain and Bangs as much.
Well,
I guess, are they
on
full weld cars too?
Yeah, you see them. It really just depends on how much money you have towards the car. I mean, really, it's luck, in my opinion. But somewhat skill, because if you build a good car and just driving smart, you could end up in the top.
Yeah.
So do you think it's more about how you drive and your experience with driving, or do you think it's about how you build your car?
It kind of both factor into it. Like, if you go out there with a fully built car and you just go and make the worst shot on someone else's, you put something right through your engine.
Right.
So, obviously, you want to make good hits, not aim for something pointy.
Yeah.
Square up.
So, you think, like, with those, the hits, I was wondering, I'm not sure if you know, I'm guessing you might not. For them to count a hit, because they do the countdown, right, between every car, like, oh, you have, you know, 1 minute left, how big do the hits have to be? Can they just be a tap, or do they have to be like a decently like leave a dent kind
of
hit?
Well, most of the derbies I like attended, it's mostly half a car length or a car length of
between.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it doesn't really matter about the speed; it just matters the distance.
They tend to kind of understand depending on how you can kind of tell when a car's struggling.
Right.
From you
pop
know
tires
from or outside perspective, they give leeway for the one that you know it's got a fucking rod going through the side of the engine, but it's still kicking. You know.
Oh, that counts as a hit. He, at least he was able to move.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a half a car length, but he only went 2 miles per hour the whole way there.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's derbies all over the country. They have, you know, the destructive behavior in Heber. They did the Blizzard Bash in November. But around here, we don't have any indoor arenas.
I feel like that'd be a big one. I think you and me talked about it before. If they had an indoor arena, they could do it all year long.
I straight up asked somebody I knew that also has run derbies, and I said, if we were able to run an indoor derby, would you do it? And he said, no. And I said, well, why not? And he said, well, we got so many summertime derbies that, you know, you just kind of need a break every once in a while.
Yeah.
And then me, I don't think I would want to do one right now because I don't have a shop to put a derby car in. And, you know, as much as I like winter every once in a while for a couple days before I'm over it and ready for summer again, my times ice fishing or even working on vehicles that need to be fixed, oil changes in the snow, I would not want to do one because I don't have a shop to take it to get it done for the December derby or, you know, whatever.
Right. But I could
see. Would you want to do one?
I would. I mean, obviously I would want to be warm building a car because who wants to be cold while doing anything? But
if you're fully set up,
are something that I really enjoy. I mean,
right.
Not there are some benefits to it as well. Like a lot of places give you money if you do really good, and that's what's cool about some of the hobbies that I have. You go out, bring a car, even if you don't make money from doing it, you're having fun.
So if somebody were to like get the Maverick Center has Monster Jam. Or the Delta Center also does it I think Delta Center does it more frequently. Okay, what if either one of those said, hey, we're going to run a derby here? You would be there next year, even if you didn't have a shop?
Really? Yeah, I would want to, but, you know, you can't derby them all. I'd go for payouts because I need the money.
To keep derbying, right?
To keep derbying.
So, say it was $3,000 first place payout. That's enough to buy a car in most cases. And you do a summer car. And then, you know, because say we did it in December or January, because the last derby's in October, you now have 2 to 3 months do a new car.
Yeah, I would kind of like, you know, how Havoc was, bring what you got. Pretty much falling apart car that you derbied all season long, I would say that would be the car that I'd take to this indoor arena unless I had a shop. Then I would try and find a good deal on another
that way you're
car.
Not spending months in the snow.
Yeah.
Okay.
How
do you think other derby car drivers would respond to that?
I feel like the ones that really enjoy it would want to do it, but
I think a lot
like
of them just need a break.
Some people need breaks. I almost work on cars every day, or, you know, trucks. Like at my shop, I work on them every day. So, but on the weekends, it's like, hey, you know, you're a mechanic. You shouldn't be able to fix this. And that's the thing. Not everyone has knowledge on everything. I am strictly semi-trucks. That's what I went and learned, but, you know, I kind of want to do my own thing as well. Derby cars, that's something that I decided that I wanted to, you know, get knowledge on, so. But I didn't go to school for it. I just had to go out there and learn.
Just figure it out.
Yeah, mess with the distributor, take it apart, take one apart, try and put it back together, try and get the timing right, learn. You'll get better as you go.
I think that's, yeah, like you're saying. And sometimes, like, with big things, you're like, I don't know what's going on. I'm going to need another opinion.
Yeah.
So I feel like we did that our first year. Like, when we were working on the mini car. It was like, we couldn't figure out what was going on. Why was it running so crappy? And then we had some help from outside. And it kind of made it a little better. But then, after, he got the car, then he, like, got second place.
Sitting down, reading books, watching YouTube, and throwing wrenches and saying fuck words.
Yeah. But asking someone for help is something that you should be wanting to do, because they might
feel comfortable.
Have that knowledge that you don't have, and then you could get that knowledge and gain that skill.
Yeah, I agree.
Do you have any more questions? Or?
Not really about the Derby.
Do you have any other questions?
Oh, in general?
Yeah.
I guess I'll ask. So going from, like, big trucks to Derby cars, it's a big difference, isn't it? Like, having the motor size, the fact that a big truck's a diesel and a Derby car's, it's sure, a big block V8's pretty big, but still, it's not, a semi-truck's twice the size of a Derby car motor, isn't it?
So, like, some semi-trucks are, 15-liter. You got your cars that are, like, 6 liters. So, the engines are definitely different sizes.
Do you have to, like, switch on in your head? It's like, okay, this is not a semi, I got to look at it from this perspective. Or is it like, and vehicles are about the same. All you need is, what, 3 things, the spark, air, and fuel, or whatever. Or is it like, okay, this general knowledge from semis I can take to, smaller motors and...
There are some general knowledge things that I get from work that I take home with me to, get vehicles running. I mean, the engines are not the same, but they have, like, the same concept. You need fuel, air, and, like, on a semi-truck, you don't need spark.
Right.
But you got, like, compression that... That compression you need in a gasser as well, enable for it to run good.
Right. Will a semi still run if the compression's not right, or will it
That's what really ignites the fuel. The diesel is the compression, all that.
Is it off pressure, a little bit?
Built heat.
Will it still run if it's off a little bit, or is it just sound like a a beat up car with that's missing like a cylinder? The compression is not right. It's just like.
It probably wouldn't run good. I would say the better the compression is, the better it will run. Like on a semi truck, anyways, because the compression. Generates that heat for it to run.
Okay. See, that's what I didn't know, because, I know when I work on... Well, I'm not really a crazy mechanic, but I used to work on my old truck, and going from that to, not even a semi-motor, but to a newer vehicle, with all the electrical stuff, all generally the same, but there's a big difference. Like, there's a lot more plugs, there's a lot more stuff to work on, so I just wasn't sure... If it was like a, general knowledge you can use on both, or if it, I was just trying to see your perspective on it and how you were able to, switch over to both. And it seems like you've picked up a lot on Derby cars, even with working on semis, you're like, this would make sense, or you figure it out a lot easier. But at the same time, it could be from as long as you've worked on them and fixed them and whatnot like that.
Like my Derby car, you need timing. I'm not saying on a semi truck you don't, because obviously you need the cylinders to fire in a certain order. But on a Derby car, it's pretty big to have your car timed good in order for it to run really well.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
But on a semi truck, there it's different. The axle is different. You got different components instead of upper and lower control arms. You got your upper knuckle, lower knuckle. You got like in the what I've seen is on like a car and a semi, they have the, they both have tie rods, but other than that, they're pretty much different.
Are they a lot? They seem a lot more. I mean, they're heavy vehicles. I'm guessing all the parts are a lot more heavy duty, right?
Yeah.
They're not like, you know, a tie rod for, you know, a regular truck is probably, you know, twice the size for a semi truck, is it? Or is it about the same?
Really depends on how big of a pickup truck you have, but...
like, yeah, you know, a normal 2500.
In most cases, a semi truck is a bigger tie rod. And, the axle is different. You got like, so you got ball joints, and on a semi you have kingpins.
Okay, so once a blue moon ago, you know, a long time ago, I remember seeing a third gen Dodge, and I was kind of like looking at it funny, like, what's going on with this? But it was a 5500 and it had 10 lugs like on a semi. So I was like, I wonder if it's spelled the same. I don't know if you've ever seen one of them. They're like
it sounds like, you know, a split rim to me.
It's a dually. It was a dually Dodge, but it was a 5500 and it had, you know, it was almost built like a semi. It was already, it wasn't even lifted. It was just big. And so I was wondering, you know, compared to a regular pickup truck, you know, semi parts, and I'm guessing the motors, same thing, like your Duramax motor is smaller, but are they generally the same for diesels all around, period, or is it
like, so they are in a way, because, you know, you got your drum brakes and stuff, like some older trucks or bigger trucks have drum brakes, and like on a semi truck they're a different concept of a drum brake. You got like roller pins, and you got spring, like both of them have springs, but the springs aren't built in differently.
So with a lot of going on to the brake things, like I know I've seen a lot of semis, like trailer brakes or even truck brakes lock up. Is that because of the drums, so they get stuck out, or, you know, like stuck to the point where they're braking and that's why the wheels lock up? Or,
well, yeah, but like on a semi truck they have the ABS, and the ABS is anti-locking system, braking system, and that prevents it from doing that. So you're not just driving down the road and say your one brake locks up or is like adjusted to the drum too tightly and gets caught up, and, you know, you're driving down the road and one way you're driving left and then the other way you're driving right because of your braking system. On the heavier duty trucks they have like air brakes, and on the pickup trucks they're mostly hydraulics. You know, it's like different concept, but they in a sense do the same thing.
So why would they lock up? Do you know? Do you, have you had to deal with repairing that before? Or is it one of those like, eh, they fix it out there, then they bring it to us and we, you know, fully repair it?
So I've done over the road before, and most of the time the people on the road just try and get it safe enough to get it back to the shop, because, you know, you got your tools in the shop, you got the heat.
Right, you can do a lot more.
You
better.
Can do a lot more. You got more room without trying to get hit by a car, you know. On the side of the road, it's not very fun. That's why I try and get out of there. I didn't like it.
Yeah. Have you seen a lot of, like, interesting things that you, like, question happen?
Oh yeah, like, well, I mean, I didn't question what happened, but I've seen, like, a half of a deer hanging from underneath a truck, and it was...
He drug it all the way there, huh?
He drug it all the way from the southern Utah all the way to northern.
Wow. Gosh.
Yeah. Hop right under the truck and it's just staring at me, and I screamed like a little girl.
Did you have to pull it out, or did you like have somebody else like, oh no, I ain't doing that?
I put gloves on and got rid of a lot of the stuff underneath, but I definitely had to pressure wash it because it stunk so bad.
Oh, I bet.
It was like cooked deer, half raw.
You ever seen that? There's a video on, I don't know where I saw it, but it was a truck driving, and he had his dash cam on, and he was just driving, and he's seen two antelope. He's like, yeah, whatever, you know, slow down so he wouldn't hit them. And then all there's just a herd of antelope, and he just plows through all of them. And he was trying to stop, but he couldn't. He was already going too fast. And with those, I'm guessing with a heavier load especially, you can't stop fast. I mean, you could try, but yeah. Then you run into all sorts of other problems.
Yeah, I mean, big trucks don't stop on a dime, especially if they're loaded. They have reaction lag, speed, like they have lag on their brakes. It's air instead of hydraulic.
Right. So it's like, push, wait, oh, there you go.
That's why on those bigger trucks, you try and downshift into lower gears before right. coming to a stop. Like right now I'm getting my CDL, so they taught me to always end up stopping in low gear, because you got low gear, high gear, and then you got like the side splitter. So they always want you to like know what gear you're in and want you to stop in the low gear. And I'm used to like driving like a normal pickup truck.
Right, you don't daily drive.
Yeah, I think we should go into that next week, but or on the next episode of the podcast, but how you have learned the difference between shifting in a light duty truck to a heavy duty truck, and your tips and tricks of how others can learn it much easier as well. We are running out of time on this podcast.
I have one more question.
Okay.
And then I'll be done. We can go to the truck of the week after. How in the hell do Jake brakes work? Like, I can hear them all the time, and they sound awesome. But, like, what are they for? What do they do?
What Jake brakes do? So, on a semi-truck, you don't want to, like, go down a hill and press the service brake, because, you know, the weight behind you will catch fire to your brakes while you're going down the hill. So the Jake brakes are there to have the engine stop you and not your brakes, because the engine brakes use the air from the intake to slow you down.
And so it's not the same as just downshifting? You can't do that in a semi?
Say you're going down the hill and you're trying to downshift, and you get into neutral and you go into try and get into a lower gear, you have to slow down way down.
Because they're spaced out?
Well, you got synchronizers in pretty much all vehicles, and the bigger the truck, probably the bigger the synchronizers. And
that's where the grinding comes from, and won't let you go into gear?
Yeah, so you gotta use a clutch to... I like to double clutch. I know a lot of people like to float, and it's just matching the RPMs, but double clutching, you know, gives you that little space to get it into gear, and it's like, in a sense, easier because that's the right way to do it. But with the bigger synchronizers, it's easier to find the gears with the bigger synchronizers. Like in a small truck, you got smaller teeth on the synchronizers, but the engine brake, you know, uses air to slow down the truck, because you know you got more air to fuel ratio to slow it down.
And so what it like cut slowly cuts the air off, and it just makes it, how does it like, you know, use the air, how's the air
what
play
is
into
it stopping
it? Yeah, what is it making it slow
is it
down?
Like slowing down pistons, or what?
It's that compression factor, you know, you got less compression, so there's less fire,
and so it just makes it run lower.
Yeah,
or
it slows down the engine,
and then that in turn goes to the axles and slows them down. So it's like
because
downshifting, but it's
to
not
the transmission. I would say so,
because you're
slowing
not actually
down
downshifting, but it's just slowing down the rotations of your
engine, because of the more air that you have in the engine, the less, you know, the fuel is, the less the compression.
It just
be
works.
Like, well, if you had a hole in your fuel line on a gas engine, it's sucking too much air and not getting enough gas.
It's not a good ratio.
Yeah.
Okay. Because I wasn't fully sure about that, about how, you know,
but
what all goes into
it.
But it's
to all cylinders, so instead of just misfiring,
just
it's
one.
Slowing it down.
Right. It kind of like resets the ratio to lower, and it just
runs lower. See, that was a good question, because I mean, I didn't think of the question, but it is something that I did not understand until this explanation, so...
Yeah. Yeah, so that's what the disc brakes do. They slow down the engine with more air.
Right. Yeah, I've always seen them or heard them, and I'm like, that sounds awesome, but how does it work? Like, what? How is it, you know? I could see, like, downshifting, like, in my old truck. I'd just downshift, and it'd make it loud, and it'd sound like, you know, it was a higher RPM, and it'd slow down, but...
Yeah, because you got, like, I haven't really dealt much with, like, the car transmissions, but I have tore apart at Eaton, and inside the transmissions, you got smaller gears, and the smaller gears are the ones that make you go faster, because they take less time to rotate, and the bigger gears will slow you down, because it takes forever to rotate.
Okay. All right. We can go to Truck of the Week now.
All right. So we're going to do Truck of the Week a little bit differently just today, not like regularly now.
Well, we might. Who knows?
Yeah, I mean, I do want to do what we do in, you know, where we find a custom truck and talk about what mods have been done to it. You know, we brought Ty on because he's knowledgeable and, you know, he has a lot to bring to the table. We've also changed the logo to put a wrench behind it. It is black for his truck also. I didn't want to change the logo too much because, you know, it's kind of hard to edit besides throwing a wrench behind it. So I think the wrench looks good and it adds the color to it as well. But our podcast is generally about modded out trucks. You know, we like Duramaxes that make sexy noises and look sexy standing up all high and mighty on their lifts. And
we've done multiple brands, haven't we? Haven't we done Dodge?
We've done
before?
Dodge, and that's the thing. You'll hear our intro, but I mean, we don't discriminate the brands that you like, and we are D-Max dads, but you can be a part of the community if you own a Power Stroke too. Do I favor Power Strokes? Not really, but you know, you like what you like.
Power Stroke poppies, you know.
Yeah, we'll come up with a little.
I would too, but I don't know. I think it.
I just love my Duramax, yeah. The shape of it, the look of it. It's a love-hate relationship with the electrical, but anyways, we're doing it a little differently because we didn't, you know, prepare a YouTube modded out truck or, you know, one that somebody sent us or, you know, obviously we didn't do one that somebody sent us because, you know, we did a little
break. We didn't really have time to plan.
Year and a half break for now, so... You know, everybody that has listened to this podcast, you know, fortunately we have people listening in Germany and Australia and all that shit too, but they probably thought our podcast died.
Yeah, they probably thought we just had a car accident and died.
And honestly, I thought so for a minute too, and then talking with Dagan, we both wanted to get back into it.
Yeah, but, just life, you know, with me having another kid on the way and Crossley almost turning two, it's just, things
surprise,
happen.
Surprise, we didn't tell you about that. But, there you go. Yeah, anyways, we did not prepare a modded out truck for today, so of course we asked the mechanic what his favorite semi was to work on, and we'll let Ty tell us what that is.
Yeah, I'd say my favorite semi to work on is a 389 Pete, because for one, I love Peterbilt more than Kenworth.
Oh.
I kind of want to hear what you guys have to say, so if we do have an email, I'm pretty new in this, so I would like to hear what everyone has to say on that. 389 Pete, kind of a teal color with stacks and...
Chrome stacks or black? Come on now.
So why are they your favorite to work on?
Why?
Are they easier to work on, or are they
less complicated, or...
they don't break as easy?
Less electrical?
I don't like the new technology on these freight trucks, like the ones that you see in the, a fleet. They're like more like the nicer trucks that everyone loves, the ones that look the nicest, they typically...
So does that mean that if you had no knowledge of mechanicking and you only got your CDL, would you pick those from the fleet or would you still pick a Peterbilt?
I still pick Peterbilt.
Are they like the old, you know, like an old car, less electronical? They're just like more like, you know.
Well, the newer ones are getting into the electronic stuff, but...
For the Peterbilt, you favor?
They don't have the radars like the newer freaking freight trucks do. I do love them because mostly because of how they perform and look. They shift better, in my opinion.
I know.
They're newer.
Right.
At the place that I work at. And, I mean, there are some downfalls to it. Like, the hood is heavy as...
The shit?
Yeah, heavy as shit.
Yeah, like, jump on it and, like, hang. Like, help me!
Yeah, a lot of people try and, like, take the hood... Like, open the hood from the front. I normally open it from the side because I'm trying to save my back.
I was gonna say, I've seen videos of people opening some semi-hoods, and a lot of them are, like... It looks like they're struggling just from the weight.
But, like, the ones at my shop mostly come with the Cummins engine, and I'm a really big fan of those compared to the Packard MX engines. I mean, I've seen DD15, DD13, and nothing compares to Peterbilt with a Cat or a Cummins engine in it.
Oh, yeah, I bet.
Now we can go into, like, how you would make your trucks look. Like, say you owned a dump truck business, because, you know, people on fleets don't really give a shit what their trucks look like, but, I shouldn't say that. But, I mean, like, if you were to put, I mean...
Of a semi-truck, or is a daily driver,
a lot of fleets...
Well, like, if you had a dump truck, and you wanted to put special lights on it, what color...
Yeah, like a custom dump truck.
You basically make sure the outside of your bed, your dump bed looks so, you know, it looks nice, and... What would you put on it? What would you do? Be putting fancy rims on it? Would you be...
Yeah, would you Linexing the dump bed, or...?
Aluminum rims on it with, lug covers on and hub covers on, and I'd... Have probably a teal color truck with, you know, all the chicken lights on it.
Chicken lights, huh?
Yeah, the ones that run down the side of the truck.
Right.
And then...
Would they be... Well, I guess your chicken lights would have to be amber, but would your dome lights be white or amber? Or
blue or purple or pink? Or
they'd probably still be amber, because I'm not, like... big on the DOT rules or whatever. I never got stopped by a DOT officer, but I know, like, the safety precautions that I need to take to get the trucks to pass DOT. But if I could, I would probably have purple lights, or, you know, white lights.
Put some purple underglow under that son of a bitch. You see me rolling. That'd be awesome.
But yeah, I'd have chrome all around.
Make your dump bed chrome too, or what?
Nah.
Just to dirty it up with some mud or concrete, whatever the hell they put in them.
And if you were to own one, would you choose to, like, say you were just starting out and you didn't, like, have the whole lot of money, but it was modded out to take care of it, would you just strictly stay in the states that don't have snow or ice melt salt?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's a big one.
Yeah.
Would you put...
I would stay away from the salt.
Unless it was making you a lot of money, right?
Yeah.
Right. Enough to rebuild it, pretty much.
Yeah, and then...
At least paint it.
There are some cheap stuff that you could put on a truck. Like, you know, you got your big stick shift that goes up to the top of the cab.
All the freaking, I know what you're talking about. They're, like, pretty much smacking the roof, and they're not even grabbing halfway up it.
Yeah. And, you know, a lot of people might not like it, but...
I seen a car with one. I seen a Toyota Corolla. It was, like, I don't know, older one, and it had one. It was a big-ass stick, and it was, like, clear. It was pretty much touching the roof. I was like, that's kind
of
cool.
I'll have to put, like, one of our light-up dildos that we made on it. Make a Bluetooth to the radio.
Just have it pulsating.
It's like flashing colors. Oh, yeah. It, like, clearly emits the sound through the radio.
Maybe put a bigger turbo on.
Oh. Or
just go with bigger turbo.
Yeah.
Because who doesn't want a faster vehicle?
Well, especially with a work vehicle, you probably don't want to be getting there at 55 miles an hour.
No, and that's what's the downfall about the fleets. They don't let you do much on their trucks because they're trying to save, like, good money and fuel. So they try and keep away from that, and they, like, on those trucks, you can set, like, a certain speed that the truck...
They got a governor.
Yeah, they have a governor.
Do they have a tracker on them?
Some do, Yeah, on the fleets they do. From the fleet that I worked on, they did, anyways.
Well, yeah. I mean, all around, I think this has been a great podcast back. We've been going for about 1 hour and 10 minutes now. You know, it doesn't sound to me like much could be even cut out. We flowed great. I think this is actually our best podcast. It's funny because it's been 1.5 years.
Oh, yeah.
But,
I think we relaxed a little bit.
I really appreciate, you know, Ty's insight. I'm sure Dave does as well.
I appreciate any insight. You know, if anyone's got anything to offer, I would love to learn more about anything.
And I'm sure Ty can say the same thing. Ty's going to be on regularly with us. You know, he's a co-host with us now. I'm sure there's going to be episodes without me, without Dagan, without Ty. You know, it just depends on the week and, you know, what we're doing.
Yeah.
And if you think I'm wrong or whatever, just let me know. I'm just giving you what
we're always open for opinions.
Yeah, I'm just going off of what my knowledge and what I've learned throughout the years.
That being said, Ty is a really good mechanic. He's, you know, obviously got 3 years on his belt, and you know, someone with 10 could have more knowledge, but for the sake of this podcast, Ty is here. Ty's going to answer questions when he, you know, if he has the answers to them. And, you know, the thing about Ty is it really bothers him to not know the answer to something. So, he will figure it out. It may take him a week. It may take him a month. He will figure it out. Watch YouTube videos. He'll answer your questions.
However.
And
I'll ask mechanics from my shop.
That being said, I want to also do a weekly thing. As the questions come, you know, we do week truck of the week. I would also like to do ask a mechanic, Q&A. ask the mechanic. I mean, we have opened up questions for Dagan and I before, like about us or about what we want to do, or like if you're recommending us go try something that we haven't tried before. But that's like a whole separate thing. That's just email us and we'll do it or answer it. But I want to open like the app that we use to stream our podcast has like a place where we can
pull up the questions.
Put questions, yeah. Or like what is your question?
Even if you
so
want,
I'll title it saying like your question for truck of the week or for Q&A. Ask a mechanic.
Yeah.
And if it doesn't work, then we'll open it up to our Instagram. I've seen that work, and you know. Again, follow us on Instagram. Follow us on Facebook.
If we want to, we can do like a live on TikTok or something like that, and you guys could join.
We have a TikTok. I've heard now that TikTok makes you have like 1,000 followers before we can do a live.
Oh, really?
And our TikTok is freshly new.
Well, that's okay.
So, you know, get us 1,000 followers, we'll do it there. You know? But, it's all about getting you good content. And, again, if we only have 5 listeners and we have one question here and there saying, hey, I don't know how to do brakes. Will you help me with brakes? And Ty can run you through it in the next podcast, or, you know, spend 5 minutes explaining to you who you need to go to, or answer your questions. If it's a noise that your vehicle's making and you want to email us a video of where it's coming from, so and Ty can do his best to answer that question, I'm sure Ty will be more than happy to try and help.
Can try and help. We have, I feel like, enough knowledge between the three of us, even random stuff.
Now, I mean, it's kind of hard to diagnose sounds without looking at it and being able to touch it. So you guys are going to have to understand that, you know, sometimes your question might not be answered.
We'll try our best.
And that we might not be able to save you a little bit of money by taking it to a mechanic to tell you, I don't know. Because, you know, sometimes there's going to be mechanics that don't know the answer either, and then they're still going to charge you labor fee.
Yeah.
So, again, Ty will try his best to answer that question. I mean, Ty's not, you know, about doing free work, but, you know, he is always willing to help. So, you know, send your questions and we'll let you know whether or not we'll answer them or if we can. Anything good else you guys want to add?
No, I really appreciate. I'm really excited to get back into it and get this podcast started again, and
I
especially have more, you know, open ways for us to ask people and you know.
I actually want to do merch this time. Like, even if it's just for us, yeah. You know.
Even we'll if
post pictures on our Instagram, and if you guys will go, hey, we want that, or maybe you guys have a design that you want to send us, and we want to add to a shirt.
Cups or something, since you're doing engraving, and my wife's doing her, you know, clothing deal, right. And whatever
now,
we can do.
We're not in the market to be, like, buying logos from every submission that, you know, you send us, but, you know, if you're willing to either donate the logo to us for merch or...
he has one already.
We really like it, and we will buy it, but, you know, don't be offended if we can't, you know, you want
to
sell us a logo, the rights to the logo for $100, and I don't have $100, and, you know, I don't think it's personally worth $100 to wear on a t-shirt.
Small business struggles.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. We'll get there one day.
But everybody has it when they start out. But I think it's been a great podcast, and we'll see you guys next week.
Love to see it grow. Have a good night, guys.
Bye.
That's the end of this week's episode of DMAX Dad's Podcast.
You can follow us on all our social media accounts. Please rate, like, and share. Follow along on next week's episode of DMAX Dad's Podcast.